Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Here's what's happening in the very near future. On Sunday nights, and starting July the 1st, that Sunday night, it's going to be a summer night of Bible prophecy preaching. It's a series. Got my big chart. Going to get it up here across the whole front of the church and preach through it on Sunday nights and take several, many weeks, the remainder of the summer to cover the book of Revelation and the remainder of the book of Daniel. I am going to go back to Daniel next Sunday morning and preaching on the doctrine of angels and how it impacts your life and my life and eternity past and also the present and eternity future. And so you bring your pens with you and your good Bible so you can take good notes in it next Sunday morning. And that's the plan. Plan for that. Tonight or this morning, I wanted to shift gears just a little bit, not by my design, but by God's design, and look at the 51st Psalm and preach a thought out of it, a big thought out of it that I've never really preached before, as far as out from this text anyway, and trust that God will get a hold of your heart and get a hold of my heart as well. In Psalm 51, the sweet psalmist of Israel, of course, wrote this by way of inspiration. David, the shepherd king, and he wrote most of the Psalms. We refer to the Psalms as the hymnal of the Old Testament. We see something of the character of David in this psalm. Now, we all need to be like Jesus. We are called to be like Christ. We are destined to be like Christ. One day we'll be just like him. We shall know him. We shall see him. We'll be like him, the scripture says. That is a promise of God. One day you're going to have a glorified body and be perfected. You'll never be deity, but you'll be like him. One day I'll have a glorified body and I'll be perfected as well, and the old sin nature is going to be gone. I'll never be deity, but we are destined to be like him. I fall so far short of being like Christ. The Bible tells us we are destined, confirmed to be in the image of Christ. Philippians chapter 2 says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, Paul said, "Be followers of me, even as I am a follower of Christ." Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 says, "For that for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed into the image of his Son." One day we're going to get there. One day we're going to be like Jesus. The struggle will be over. It's going to be glorious. It's called heaven. And that's where we're going to spend all of eternity, never being tempted again. The tempter will be banished, never having that old sin nature that so often wants to get its way instead of obeying and surrendering to God. That'll all be done. The battle will be over. But in the meantime, we live right here in the nasty now and now. And I was thinking about David this week, and I can't be, I'm not much like Christ. I want to be like him. Man, I'm just a fallen man. My thinking isn't right sometimes. Sometimes I'm selfish, selfishly motivated. Sometimes, was that my wife that said, uh-huh? Recognize that voice anywhere. Joe set the sign up to last another little bit. It's a computer sign. It's a whole lot deeper than some people realize. And Joe, he told me, I haven't even got it all figured out. And I'm thinking, what hope do we have? But at any rate, he was typing. I said, hey, we got the air conditioning on. We got it figured out. By the way, is anybody cold in here this morning? No? Okay, that's a mixed crowd. Okay, all right, good. And it's warming up as you sit here the longer. I just wanted to prove something to some ladies that had already complained to me this morning. But anyway, on the sign out there, it says cold auditorium. Some of you probably noticed it. Hot preaching. And Joe actually typed in the wrong word. And he got what it said was cold auditorium, hot preacher. I thought, oh man, that's all. That's all I need is some of my enemies that don't understand my sense of humor, that already think my ego is way too big. And we caught it, and we all laughed about it. I said, Joe, you get that change right now, all right? I'm misunderstood a lot, all right? Here's what I know. I'm a sinner saved by grace. I know I stumble. I know if you've come here long enough, I've offended you. It's happened. By the way, you've offended me too. That's how it works. It works that way, right? All right. Some of us, we got to be big, all right? We're going to get to the end of the psalm and you're going to see that. But I know I'm a broken person. I want to so much be like Jesus. This morning I told him over and over again, I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. And I know I don't show it sometimes. And I desperately, desperately need your help. I was thinking about David all week long. David didn't arrive while he was here on this earth. As a matter of fact, we're going to read the 51st Psalm. He was guilty of capital crimes where he deserved to die. At least three capital crimes in the Old Testament economy where he should have been struck dead or stoned. He was guilty and he understood that. And I'm the same way. But yet we read in the Bible on two occasions where God said that David is a man after my own heart. You ever think about why God used David after that horrible, adulterous affair where he shamed the name of Jehovah, he shamed the name of Israel, people fell away because of his personal sin, he hurt all kinds of people around him, murder was committed because of that, a baby died because of that, it was just rape took place because of that sin, all of that, and yet, God still used David afterwards. You know what the answer to that is? He was a man after God's own heart. I'm thinking, man, that's what I got to have. I want to explain to you this morning what that is. God judged that sin. Man, there was great heartache because of that sin. David had to do all over again. He would not have committed that sin. It took him a lot deeper than he planned on going. But the point is, he was a man after God's own heart. David had all kinds of great character traits, but he was a sinner. And yet God still used him. With that as background, let's pray one more time and let's look at the 51st Psalm. God in heaven, we your people, we that are born again, we're not fooling anybody. We know we're sinners. And dear God, we need your help. God, we desire to be used of thee. These people that have gathered here at Fundamental Baptist Church this morning, they don't need a Bible study this morning. They need to hear the word of God. They need to hear preaching. We need the Holy Spirit to grip our hearts. And Lord Jesus, we pray you'd take the scripture and you'd make it powerful. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I title this message, I Want to Be Like David, and you'll know exactly what I'm saying? Paul said, you follow me as I follow Christ. I'll follow David as he follows Christ. He messed up, you know, and that kind of encourages me just a little bit. And that's not condoning the sin at all, but because I know that I mess up. Anybody here not mess up? Everybody here a sinner, say amen. Okay, we're on the same page. Psalm 51 says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For 18 months, David had been out of fellowship with God. He committed that sin. By the way, he was out of fellowship with God before he actually committed that sin. All right? But from the time he committed that sin, it was 18 months, and God didn't hear his prayers. His prayers were like, it was like the ceiling, their skies were steel, and nothing got through to the throne room of God. God had become a stranger to David. He who loved God. God who loved him. He who was chosen by God to be the second king of Israel. He who was a shepherd boy was a man after God's own heart, grew into a man and was still a man after God's own heart. And he messed up. He sinned. And it separated him from God. He didn't lose any salvation, but it broke fellowship. It separated him from God. He lost the joy of his salvation. And yeah, for 18 months, it's like he walked alone. He sat alone on the throne. He walked the halls of the palace alone. He had no fellowship with his heavenly Father, the one he so desperately missed. And then we have the recording of Psalm 51, where David repents. He quits making excuses, and he repents. He shed all those tears without repenting. Now he'd finally repented. God, I'm the one that was wrong. It's all my fault. It's not that person's fault. It's not my neighbor's fault. It's not the preacher's fault. It's not the teacher's fault. It's my fault. God, I recognize it. And he repents of his sin. And he cries out to God. Let's read it again. Have mercy upon me, O God. David had one hope. You've heard me preach that before. Mercy. He was guilty. He knew it. He knew he was guilty and worthy of death three times over. One thing he could hope for, and he cried out to God, have mercy. Have mercy. This is a big part of the message, and I hope somehow I'm able to communicate it in a way that you can understand. We all kind of know what God has laid on my heart. God used David after he sinned because he was a man after God's own heart. This is what it means to be a man after God's own heart. To have the same desire as God. To have the same intent, motivation as God. To see things and the events of life like God sees them. That's having a heart like God's heart. David, in spite of the fact that he was a sinner man, saved by grace, and his sin broke his fellowship with God, just like it does in our life, in spite of that, he had a heart for God. David was a lost puppy without his Savior. David was a man that had, without Jehovah God, without that walk with God, he was a shell of a man. And he recognized it. And for 18 months, he bumped into things, stumbled over things. He had no purpose, no peace in his heart. He understood that he disappointed his God desperately. And he was so overwhelmed with the circumstances and the events that, man, he'd come to a standstill. David was a man who had one hope, mercy. I would tell you, practice mercy. Pastor Rader has got to practice mercy. Hold on to the Bible with both hands. Don't give up any Bible doctrine. Don't dip the colors in any way, shape, or form. But if a brother or a sister stumbles along the way, and if you've been in the ministry any length of time, they do all around us and we stumble ourselves, show mercy. Show mercy without letting go of the Bible. Show mercy, you know, you're not their judge and executioner, you're a servant of God is what you are. And we've got the standard, it's right here. But show mercy. Practice mercy in your life. If you're not careful, the events of life will overwhelm you and you will be identified by the events in your life instead of being identified by the Savior of your life. Now, so practice mercy. Learn what it is to forgive and hold on to your Bible all at the same time. Again, here's David, a man after God's own heart. He fell. He committed sin. He committed horrible sin. And he was broken. His fellowship was broken with God. But he finally cried out to God. Finally repented of his sin. Finally confessed his sin. Said, wash me thoroughly from top to bottom, inside and out. God, take care of my sin. I'm a sinner man. My only hope is you. And he cries out to God for mercy. And you know what God does? God gives him mercy. Man after God's own heart. I'll say it again. Same intent as God. David, when he's on the throne and he's right with God, he wants what God wants. Same motivation. Same desire. He sees the nation Israel like God sees the nation Israel. He sees his own life like God sees his own life. And so he understands. And he's able to be used of God. Help me to get there. That ought to be our prayer. Make me a man after God's own heart. Make me a woman after God's own heart. The same intent as God. The same motivation. The same desire. Help me to see my own personal sin as God sees that sin. Help me to recognize when I break the word of God. That's a little deeper than I'm able to preach it this morning. I'm not a real deep guy. but this is deep. You see, if you are a man after God's own heart or a woman after God's own heart, then you'd be doing the right things. No questions. No questions. I don't have to understand God. I know you're God. That's good enough for me. And if I don't understand the later, that's good. I trust you. I know that you're my shepherd, and I'm led and fed by the hand of God. Verse 3, let's get that back to the scripture. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. That's what it's like when you break fellowship with God and you're truly a man after God's own heart. You're miserable. Man, it's painful. You don't laugh at sin. It's painful because you see the consequences. You see it like God sees it. Verse 4, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightst be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest a broken people. He says, God, I've done you wrong, God. I have done you wrong, and I'm sorry. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. This is where it gets real deeper than I can dive. David desired one thing. That's truth in the inward parts. That's a Hebrew idiom. It talks about the real David. The part of David that everybody outside him couldn't see, but it's inside him. It's God, man after God's own heart. God, I want purity. I want you to be pleased. God, I want to get closer. Personal holiness. David's desire. Because he was a man after God's own heart, he knew that's what would please his father. And it wasn't about pleasing the world. He'd gone down that road. That was painful. He said, God, I want it like it used to be. Remember when I was a shepherd boy in the Judean hills, watching over my sheep, the sheep you entrusted me with? And I'd look up at the stars at night and I'd sing. You could hear David singing on the hillside. Not to any person, but to God. Said, David, I want it. David said, God, I want that. I want it to be like it used to be. How about a child of God? Do you desire holiness? Or do you run from the holiness of God? You can't wait to get back to the bottle or the drug or the pornography or the evil. Or do you desire holiness? That's a big deal. It's so lacking in the Church of Jesus Christ today. That casual Christianity, it's not going to please God. Others aren't going to really get born again around you either. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. That was a bush that was indigenous to the area, and actually it was the same type of bush that was used to put the blood over around the door and the night that the Israelites were delivered from Egypt. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. David understood that his only hope for mercy would be found in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it, man. That's the only reason I'm going to heaven. The blood atonement. What Jesus did for me. If you're born, it's the only reason you're going to go to heaven. The blood atonement. It's Jesus. It's the price he paid for our sin. It's Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible. Jesus the Christ. Not the Jesus of our culture. Jesus the Christ. He is salvation. So he says, God, purge me. Make me whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. And that very as a metaphor and it's very picturesque of falling away from God and God judging him. But I'll say this before I read verse 9. God can make you new again. God can make it like it used to be. God can. The devil's telling you God won't use you anymore. That's a lie. And as long as you keep believing the devil's lie, you'll never do anything for God. But if you'll repent of your sin, God will hear that prayer this morning. And God will use you again. Did you ever love God more than what you love him right now this morning? Has there ever been a time in your life where you really did walk with God and it's not there right now? You need to cry out with David, have mercy. Purge me. Wash me thoroughly. Make me clean. Verse 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out. That means eliminate them. Blot out all mine iniquities, and only God can do that. Create in me a clean heart, O God, And renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. It wants his fellowship. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He had such a desire for God. And you recognize Old Testament doctrine. The Holy Spirit came upon the believer for a task and then left. Came upon and then left. Now we're holy. Now we're New Testament. And the Holy Spirit indwells us and seals us. He's baptized us into the family of God, spiritually speaking. So he's on the inside of it. We abide in Christ and Christ abides in us. Eternal security. That's a wonderful thing. But David, he had to pray, Lord, don't take your spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. David's hope was mercy. David's desire was pureness. God, give us that kind of Christian again. Holiness. There's certain music that'll lead you away from holiness. There's certain friends that'll lead you away from holiness. They're not friends. There's a certain lifestyle that will crush the Holy Spirit of God in your life. You better run back to God. You need to get to the place where you love God again. There's one Savior. His name is Jesus. I want to get to the best part of this psalm, but before I do, go to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. I've got some verses that I highlighted, and we're going to do some skipping. I'm just going to read a few verses, but even the Old Testament sacrifices of the Old Testament law were temporary. So you just kind of follow along in the thought. Now, I'm going to give you what Hebrews 10 says and what Jesus actually says here. He's quoted. And then you go back and you study it yourself, because you don't have to believe it just because I'm saying it. But it's in your Bible. You need to see this. For the law having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the things, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually make the comers thereunto perfect. Hear what the writer of Hebrews is saying. He's saying, under inspiration, the commands of God, Old Testament Judaism, all of those Old Testament sacrifices, they were commanded of God and they were a picture of Jesus. We understand that. They went on continually, year after year, day after day, continually sacrifices were being made and being offered. And none of those sacrifices, the blood of animals, could never wash away sin. They just covered it. Let's read on. Verse 3. But in those sacrifices, there is a remembrance again made of sins every year. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldst not, but a body thou hast prepared me. That's Jesus. Says to God the Father, this is why you've given me a body. That's why I'm here for 33 years. I'm going to the cross as the Lamb of God, as the supreme sacrifice. Look at verse 7. Then said I, lo, this is Jesus, I come in the volume of the book it is written of me to do thy will, O God. That's why I'm here. Skip down to verse 11. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Verse 14. Speaking of Jesus. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. It is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could wash away sin. All the man-made religion in the world cannot save your soul. Only Jesus. Writer of Hebrews says, he went to the cross, offered himself a sacrifice and bled out one time. And that's all it took. He ascended and he's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Go back to Psalm 51 with that in your mind. Psalm 51. We have one Savior. David recognized that one Savior. The good news, the price has already been paid for your sin and mine. The Lamb of God shed his blood that we might be born into the family of God. That's the only way it was going to happen. The only way. There ain't enough water in this world to wash away your sin and my sin in a baptismal tank or down at a lake or in a river somewhere. There's not enough water. Water won't wash away that stuff. only the very blood of God. What a great Savior. He knew we couldn't get it done, so He made a way for us. What a great God we serve. Psalm 51. Now we come to our responsibility. I got two more things to say. I'm going to say it real quick. David understood his responsibility was to be a witness and tell other people about Jesus. Verse 12 says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, uphold me with thy free spirit." Verse 13, "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." One responsibility. Picked up a hitchhiker a couple days ago, and it was down here on Tone Road. And picked him up and got him in the car, and got my gospel track out, and handed him a track, and he said, "Are you Tim Rader?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "You don't remember me?" I said, "Mister, I can't even remember my own name half the times." And he said, you brought me to Awana." I said, "Awana? How old are you?" He said, "I'm 51. I said, "Oh, man." And he expected me to remember him. I mean, oh, yeah, right. What a privilege it is to serve God over and over and over again. I knelt beside the bed of a dying saint this week. I won't name her because, well, she'd messed her life up. Now she had days, maybe hours to live. I called her by name. I read some scripture to her. I said, "Listen, are you sure that you're in Christ? That you're going to heaven? No chance of going to hell?" She looked at me, opened her eyes for the first time, and said, whispered, "I'm sure." A lot of messes in her life. But she got that one thing right. If you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to come to Him right now. Don't put it off. Last two verses. Verse 17, last three verses. "For the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." God wants your heart, and He wants two things. He wants you to be humble, and He wants you to repent. Sin's not a game. He wants two things. He wants you to be small, and He wants you to be sorry. If you are small and you are sorry, that will lead you to a great big God. But if you're big and you're proud, you think you're something, God can't use you. If you're someone, you can commit sin and it's a game. There are people, I've met Christians this way, that are actually childish about sin. And they laugh about it all the time. Think, "Man, I hope you grow up, because there's a lot of damage being done." We need to be small or humble. And we need to be sorry. Repent. David, a man after God's own heart. We have got to get to the place, get past the come as you are, leave as you were brand of Christianity, and let God change you. Get your life fixed. Let God fix you. Get everything cleaned up. Cleared up as a child of God. Again, if you're here and you're not born again, right now is an opportunity to come to Christ. Right now, you could bow your heart and your head and call out, and He will save you.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.